All right, we are going to call to order the regular meeting of the West Lafayette Board of School Trustees. Today is Monday, April 1st, 2019, 6:30 p.m. And we'll start with the approval of the agenda for tonight's meeting, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Witt.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, that motion does carry. Approval of the minutes of March 4th, 2019, the regular meeting of the Board of School Trustees. Moved by Dr. Springer.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. Discussion, any changes? Anybody with respect to that?
They don't think. Yeah.
Okay, and yeah, we had a couple more things. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, hearing none, that motion does carry. Communication for the audience, current agenda items. There was one marked current agenda item, but it's actually not a current agenda item. So you can, we do all have a time to address the board for non-agenda item at the second half of the meeting. So that's, so that everybody's aware of that. And so we'll get to that at that point. We'll start then with the unfinished business. I have none. New business, academic achievements, and best communities for music education. And Dr. Killian.
I'm very proud to announce that the National Association of Music Merchants has again designated West Lafayette Schools as the best school community for music education. I think this is the seventh time in a row, so congratulations to all of our staff, all of our students, and our school district for getting that designation.
Thank you, Dr. Killian. That's good news. Legislative update, and back to you, Dr. Killian.
Well, as you all know, we're wrestling with a variety of things, and I'm glad the audience is here because maybe this information can get out in a better way, in a better fashion. So I'm going to start with House Bill 1001, which is the funding formula for all school districts. And our funding formula projection, which we won't know for sure until everything is passed, but it's based upon student enrollment growth of about 40 students per year to get an increase. There is a cut in our funding formula of 17% in the complexity index. And as we all know, our complexity is increasing in our school district. When I came here, we had approximately 12% free and reduced lunch, and now we're over 20%. So the complexity index is problematic for us if we see a 17% decrease. As we've talked about before, House Bill 1003 is a bill that's going to require the school districts to have 85% of their state funding going to the building level and 15% everything else. And right now, if you take the referendum out of our school district, we're at about 79%, 21%. And the question still remains, can we include our referendum in that calculation? If we can, then we're at 83%, 17%. And basically what that means is that we have to figure out a way to show our legislators, because they want to give raises to our teachers but are unwilling to give the funding, therefore public schools have to spend differently. We have to show how we can get to the 85% threshold of our state funding going to the buildings and 15% going other places. So to just kind of give you an idea what that means, if we're at the 79-21 percentile, 79% means we either have to raise $6 million on the revenue side or we have to cut $1 million on the other side just to get to the 85-15% threshold. If we get the $6 million, and we'll take donations tonight, we'll gladly give raises. If we have to cut $1 million from our expenses to balance that out, then we're losing staff, and the staff are the support staff. Different staff that are outside the building level work that goes on. So we're watching that bill closely. Of course, if we're at the 83-17 percentile, if we can use a referendum, that makes it a little bit more manageable. But we're not going to know until after this legislative session, and as they say, the devil's in the details, and we'll know more at the end of this legislative session, end of April. And then at your place, if you happen to get, were able to get one of these copies, And if you didn't, you might share with a friend. I actually left two copies or two handouts out there. One is from the Superintendents Association. It has two little icons down at the bottom. And the Superintendents Association sent out information about House Bill 1021 that is going to impact 71 school districts. And guess who's on that? We are. So if you go to the second page, you will see that if this bill passes in its current form, we will see a budget hole of about $600,000 in our operational funds. Now, we're hearing some rumors that that's going to be phased in over time. We're hearing some rumors that that level might be decreased, so we're not totally sure. But this came out last week, and I appreciate the Superintendents Association reaching out to all the superintendents and school districts saying, let's go to battle for the 71 school districts that are basically fighting for this revenue. And even though ours is $600,000, I mean, if you go through this list, it's amazing. Anderson Community Schools, almost $5 million. Beech Grove, $2.7 million. I mean, it's enough. Crazy amount of money that's going to be siphoned away from public schools. And so we're watching that closely, and we'll hopefully get better information as we get closer to the end of the session. The other one I wanted to share with you, and if you're not a part of the Indiana Coalition for Public Education, this would be a good time to become a part of that. The Indiana Coalition for Public Education is holding a State House rally for better K-12 funding on Tuesday, April 16th. And I won't read through Vic Smith's notes, but Vic is a passionate director of the Indiana Coalition for Public Education and is also a former teacher educator. And he goes through and he tells you a little bit about what's been going on with diverting money away from public schools into the charter and voucher program. And he gives you some interesting information for consideration. So I just wanted to share all this data with you to let you know that what we're looking at is a very complex situation. And one of the things that sometimes I'm asked about is, you know, what about our referendum that we passed? As we've been sharing for over a year, we lost 5% of our assessed valuation due to a county auditor's error a year ago. And anytime the AV goes up, we get more revenue. And anytime the AV goes down, you get less revenue. So we lost $65 million out of our assessed valuation because of a county auditor's error a year ago, and we're also seeing now a reduction in our referendum because we lost 5% of our assessed valuation. Some people have asked, how do you appeal that? You can't appeal it because it's based upon TIF district and non-TIF district assessed valuation and where those lines occur. And unfortunately, 3 years ago, an auditor put $65 million in our assessed valuation that shouldn't have been there, and they had to take it out. So that was an unforeseen situation. So I'm just trying to paint a picture that things aren't looking so good for us, and we have to do course corrections in order to ensure that we maintain the quality and integrity of our school district. So while all of you are passionate maybe about half-day kindergarten, or you're passionate about certain teachers or certain programs, we're going to have to look at everything to determine how best to make sure that we can continue on with what we're doing here without hurting the quality of our education system while living under these mandates coming down from the state. Bob, you've been working on some of this legislative pieces as well, and Bob has gone down to the state and spoke with some of our legislators. Do you have any upside to it?
We've got a conundrum at the legislature right now. And one thing, and I think you may not be aware of this, in Indiana we have supermajorities in both houses. So you can talk to a Democratic legislator all you want, but they have no influence in Indianapolis. Zero. The only people that have any influence are the Republicans, and that's because they have supermajority. They don't need the Democrats to agree to anything. Now, that's a political reality. We also have a new a group of legislators who have come on with agendas that on their face appear to be anti-education. And I've spent a lot of time with Senator Alting, and Senator Alting's been a bit of a champion in the Senate. And he actually was able to change one law, and he's working very hard on the other law. And I had a chance to go down and talk to the chairman of the Senate Committee on Education about this 85-15 thing. And one of the things that I pointed out to him, if you look at average teacher pay in Indiana, the top 10 schools, and I think we're seventh, 9 out of 10 of them had referendums. And that referendum was used, and there's a tie-in, which means their local community is for education, or they wouldn't have passed referendums. Make sense? He didn't really understand that. And I kept saying, you know, we are home rule. Let us run our schools as we choose to do so. The problem is the Muncie situation, and the situation up in Lake County, in one of the schools, St. Gary School, where they had terrible mismanagement, brings about this legislation. People are trying to penalize schools, place more rules rather than less rules. And they're fooling around with the 1003 bill quite a bit. I was at a legislative conference on Friday with the head of Indiana State School Board Association and several of the senators and House members. They don't know what the budget forecast is. And until they have a final number, and they will know what it is in the next, before the session is over, that's when they make their final decision. I know that Senator Alding is trying to, it's this kind of bizarre bill. There's a real movement to have sports betting in Indiana, okay? And what he wanted to do was earmark the tax revenue from that and direct it just for teachers, straight to teachers, so they would get the benefit directly of it. But he found that there was resistance to doing that, and he's still hoping he can get that done. So there's some, it's very fluid down there. I will tell you, he is very cognizant of the fact that a lot of the state surplus came off the backs of our schools. So, you know, I'm going to get one more shot this Thursday. I'm going to have a chance to meet with the Senate Majority Leader, and I'm going to be very confrontational with him and say, since when did schools become a partisan issue in Indiana? Half our budget is for schools. It's a battle. It's a battle that kind of caught people off guard. What I hear is that a lot of they watch what's going on nationally. They watch what happened in West Virginia, the different states where teachers, you know, had in California, and they're trying to figure out a way. Well, how do we get new money into the system for teacher pay? They're not willing to fund it, and it just doesn't work. You can't squeeze blood out of turnip. And the Senate Majority or Senate Education Committee Chairman, that their superintendent in his school district makes what some of our senior teachers make. So there's just a total disconnect. There's a disconnect between rural Indiana and suburban and metropolitan Indiana. And from a legislative standpoint, you know, if you were to take Hamilton County, Hendricks, Tippecanoe County, Monroe County, Allen County, and you put them all in the room, we wouldn't be having these discussions. Half of the southern part of the state is all rural. Per capita income is a lot less down there. What a teacher makes in those schools is viewed as an excellent income in their community. So you're fighting a lot of barriers, and we've got a lot of new people. We've got tremendous change in leadership down there, and from the top down. So, it's a fight, and we'll keep fighting. You know, every week I sit in on a meeting on it, and if I need to go down there, and Senator Alding has opened the door for us several times, and he is really a real supporter. But the other thing they do, and I won't belabor this point, you have a bill like 1003. Well, there's a lot of good stuff in 1003, and so it got support. ISTA supported it, but then they put an amendment in, and the amendment is where the problems lie, and this happens. You get these wonderful bills, great ideas, and then somebody puts amendments on them, and now you got to go down and fight to get the amendments kicked out, and it's so bad when you go. It's like it's really like making sausage. You go down there, and the senator will say, "I didn't know what the bill said." I feel like saying, "Why don't you read the statute?" But I can't do that. So, but it really is a real challenge, and I think we're trying to fight the good fight. Hopefully, at the end of the day, there'll be some reasoning that will prevent some of these things from happening.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, I'm Bob Riley. I'm the general counsel for the school corporation. Those of you that know me, I have a lot of contact with a lot of you.
And this is why we send him down, because he can be really mean and ruthless. And
thank you, Roger. Appreciate it. Compliment, as Margaret always says.
Yeah.
I like you, Bob. I just don't want to ever see you again.
Yeah, exactly. But it does help us. So I do appreciate Bob's lobbying position for our school district. And there's another piece to this, which isn't the legislative update, but this year was the first time in 10 years that we've lost students during the school year. So we're down in enrollment 19 students. You multiply that by the $5,700+ that we get from the state. That's a significant amount of money that we have to figure out how to deal with. And then we have a large senior class getting ready to graduate. So our projections right now is that we could see a dip in enrollment this year, and fewer kids will mean fewer positions, fewer dollars, and we have to figure all those things out. And I'll talk more about that when we get to that agenda item. Okay. Happy to take any board questions or
anything else
comments.
Okay. All right, let's go on to 2019-20 tuition rates and Rocky, you want to give that?
Yes, so I'm pensioning for Ross since he has the flu. So if you have anything specific, I'll get him on the phone and we can make sure that we get his information. But he has calculated the 19-20 tuition rates that you have at your place, and I'm making a recommendation. We approve his recommendation.
Okay. Get a motion, please.
Seconded.
Moved by Mr. Marley, second by Dr. Springer. Questions? We have reviewed this in advance, but any concerns or questions on the tuition rates? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, the motion does carry. 2019-20 textbook rental fees and Dr. Killian.
We received information from the schools with regards to their textbook rental and fees recommended, and so we presented those to you for your consideration.
And those recommendations came from the individual schools.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any motion, please?
No.
Moved by Mrs. Brockman.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Discussion, questions on that?
I really appreciate the way it was presented. It was really clear and easy to understand what happened. Thank you for that.
Okay. Other comments? Okay, all in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, April, the motion does carry. Bond resolutions, and back to you, Dr. Killian.
So we're getting ready to sell bonds for the next round of projects, the James R. Guy Education Wing and the Bob Kelly Performing Arts Center. Our bonding council has put together the resolutions that we have publicized, and we need the board's approval to first adopt the resolution determining the need for the projects.
Need a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Bittner.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Prochnow. Okay. Discussion. Okay. All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, that motion does carry. Adopt a resolution approving preliminary plans, form of lease, and authorizing publication of notice of lease hearing. Dr. Killian?
Yes, this is a resolution that's going to be needed to help us put together the legalese, if you will, for the selling of the bonds and the leasing of the building going towards the building corporation.
Okay. Need a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Witt.
Second.
Second by Dr. Springer. Discussion, questions? All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, that motion carries. Adopt the resolution reapproving formation of building corp.
And Bob Riley and his law firm has been helping us with these plans as well as the building corp. We have to have the building corporation in place in order to do these bonds. What a lot of people don't understand is school districts cannot go in debt to build buildings. You have to have a building corporation to do that. So it's kind of a shell game, and Indiana code allows for a building corp to enter into these agreements that allow us to build the buildings.
Okay, need a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Brocknell. Questions or discussion on this? Okay, all in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, that motion does carry. Baker Tilly, need a motion or a motion to, or information, I guess, actually coming from them about continuing disclosure and approval of bonding services.
Correct. Umbaugh is now Baker Tilly, and we need to have the board consider continuing disclosure and approval of the bonding services work for Baker Tilly in order to continue the bond process.
Okay, and need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Discussion, please. All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, hearing none, that motion does carry. Glass Transportation Decentralization Agreement, and Dr. Killian.
So one of the things we're looking at in our school district is to try to be more efficient in a variety of ways. One of those efficiencies we believe will be through decentralization of the special education cooperative and doing more things in-house. So the first step in this is a request to decentralize Glass Transportation and West Lafayette Schools, TSC, LSC, will all respectfully unto themselves be responsible for the special education transportation next year. If our calculations are correct, this decentralization for us will save us approximately $50,000 a year in transportation costs. As a reminder, Glass and the whole arrangement has probably been around close to 40 years, Karen, I would say. So this is a time that we're looking under every rock and trying to figure out better ways to do things. And just for the audience purview, those that are out here, we transport approximately 34 children. And I think our bill from Glass, just from transporting 34 children per year, is around $270,000. You do the math on 34 kids, $270,000. So by decentralizing, we believe that we will cut that amount significantly, and that'll give us additional dollars to use in the operation side of things, especially if House Bill 1021 comes to fruition.
Okay. Thank you. I need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Witt, second by Dr. Springer. Discussion. And this has been in process, I mean, at least the center for quite a while.
And Karen's been representing the school board on those discussions over the last 2 years. Shelby Johnson, who's in the audience somewhere, has also been a part of that discussion. Doug Caldwell, our transportation director, has been over has been involved in that as well.
Okay. Need a motion, please. We already have the motion. Excuse me. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, that motion does carry. All right, emergency authorization to hire in Dr. Killian.
I normally, at this time every year, ask for the board's permission for emergency authorization to hire. If indeed we have to go through any reductions in force, or if we lose people throughout the summer and enrollments change or class assignments change, it gives us an opportunity to hire immediately as opposed to waiting a month for a board meeting. And then I bring that back formally to you for consideration.
Okay. Need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Schott.
Second.
Second by Mr. Bittner. Discussion, please. And this is something we've approved every year, but all in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, that motion does carry. Common School Fund and Dr. Killian.
Requesting the board's permission to continue my efforts to apply for the Common School Fund, which gives us additional dollars for technology. And as a reminder, that saves operational funds, that saves general fund dollars, and that allows us to, any funding that we get is very low cost interest from the state, and that allows us to pay it back through debt service. And we've been able to purchase well over $2 million of technology doing it this way, saving operational funds as well as general fund dollars.
Okay. Need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Witt.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. Discussion, please.
Go get it, Ron.
Yeah. The record is still perfect.
It is.
It's been good. Yeah. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Suicide prevention training and Dr. Curran.
So one of the new laws, among many laws that have been enacted, is suicide prevention training, which staff members, raise your hand. Staff members out there, raise your hand. All of these people and all of our staff members that work with kids have to be trained in this by the end of the school year. Thank the Department of Education for giving us advance notification. So what we have to do pretty quickly between now and the end of the school year is come up with training for all of our staff that have ongoing contact with students, whoever he or she may be, and make sure that they receive, and it says 2 hours of training. We think that we have a little flexibility there. So what I'm recommending, we have found 1 hour online suicide prevention training program that we would like to implement that will come out of the technology fund to help us to do that pretty quickly. And then there would be a face-to-face training with a trained, we have a certified trainer, Libby Sheffield, fortunately for us, who is a certified trainer. And she would go out to the buildings to meet with small groups of staff members during staff meetings to get the face-to-face training that's required. And we think we can get all 243 people trained by the end of the school year with this process. And if the board approves the revision of calendar, we'll have a couple of nice summer day or spring days that you might could take an hour to do all of that for the staff members who are listening.
Okay. All right. Need a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Dr. Springer.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Discussion, please. I mean, it's an extremely important issue, but it's unfortunate that we are timing to be able to get this and have the time to do this, but appreciate the flexibility of trying to move this forward as quickly as possible. Questions? Anything else? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Latchkey program and Dr. Killian.
Per Indiana code, we sent out a request for a proposal for the latchkey program. We did receive two, and after administration review, the administration is recommending Just Us Kids to be our latchkey program for the 19-20 school year.
Okay, I need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Witt.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. Discussion, please.
Ron, can you anticipate when our full week days will continue through the summer?
We'll have conversations about transition.
Okay.
I don't want to speak for anyone.
Okay.
Okay. Other questions or comments? Okay. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Student Code of Conduct revisions, and back to Dr. Killian.
You have your place recommendation for Student Code of Conduct revision that's been submitted, and we ask your consideration of that so that they can go to publication.
Okay. Need a motion, please.
I'll move.
Moved by Mrs. Procknow.
Second.
Second by Mr. Bittner. Discussion, please.
Great timely addition.
Hmm?
Great timely addition.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And there weren't very many changes, but there were important ones.
So yes.
Which is good.
This is just for the junior, senior high school. The intermediate school and elementary school will be coming next month's meeting.
Maybe.
Or in the future.
I don't want to speak for anyone.
Okay.
That is the hope.
I'll let Margaret and Amber speak for them.
We have a committee of teachers led by Stephanie Kalaya that will be in the book. I don't anticipate anything big changing, if anything, at all this year.
Right.
Okay. Okay, any other questions or discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that April, that motion does carry. Let's look at 2019-20 and 2020-21 calendar revisions.
So I'm going to go a little in depth with this since we have a nice audience out here to try to explain what we're doing here and why we're doing it. And keep in mind, we're looking at total programming. We are a performance-qualified school district, believe it or not, which I'm very pleased that we are. And we've just learned that a performance-qualified school district, if you have enough instructional minutes in a day to meet Indiana Code requirements for 180 days, and you can do that, your instructional minutes add up to more than what you need in 180 days, you can have fewer days in your calendar. So, as we've done with this current calendar, we will not be in session April 8th and April 22nd. We're not making those days up because we have enough instructional minutes to count towards the requirements of Indiana Code. Therefore, the conversation has now evolved for 19-20 and 2021 of having two staff development days for our staff, September 23rd and February 28th in the 19-20 school year, in which staff will come to school, but students will not have to. And we will do professional development training opportunities during those times. It also is going to help us with the financial piece of it, believe it or not, because the less we're using our schools, the fewer staff that we have serving, if you will, students, we're going to actually be able to save some dollars in those. The projected dollars at this point is about $10,000 a day. So every time we do this, we'll be able to save some education funds with regards to helping us meet that 85-15. So fewer days, but we also have some grants that we now can utilize towards professional development, such as Title III, I believe it was Title III, I have to go back and look. We have several grants that's going to allow us to bring in some people to do professional development for our staff, and our plan is, if you all approve this, is to revise this so that our teachers are in session, they're still in session 183 days, but they will have two fewer days with students, and our students will be in session 178 days, and we've been guaranteed by the Department of Education that we are a performance-qualified school district for this coming year, next year, and this will not impact our ADM money coming in.
I need a motion, please, for the calendar revisions for both those years, please.
So
moved by Dr. Springer, second by Mrs. Witt. Discussion.
You said this year, next year, but also the year after, or is there?
Yeah, next year and the following year. Yeah, we're already this year. We have two more years beyond this year, is the way I should have said it.
Okay, thanks.
Yep.
I guess I've had this conversation with Rocky. I would like to see us have a calendar committee that does include stakeholders, and whether that be through informal surveys or through an actual committee, I would like to get some input in terms of what the calendar should look like with regards to stakeholders as well.
What's your intent with that?
Just that we have some flexibility, and I think that sometimes with working parents, when we have the 3-day weekend versus maybe tying some of those days off together is a little bit more of a challenge in terms of finding childcare. And that they're, you know, with the 4 days, they're able to do, you know, to take some trips or take vacation, do family things together, as opposed to sometimes with the 3-day, it's just a day off work, and it doesn't offer them a lot of opportunities.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion? Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. We'll go to 19-20 enrollment projections.
So Well, as I mentioned before, we are currently down 19 students from first semester to second semester, which is approximately, if you do the ADM numbers, it's over 180,000. We are also looking at a large senior class graduating. We are seeing lower numbers in registration for kindergarten. Therefore, right now, what we're looking at is the possibility of a dip in enrollment for the 19-20 school year. So, in order to prepare for this, what I'm asking the board's authorization is to give authority to the administration, based upon enrollment numbers, to consider reductions in force of half-time and first-year full-time elementary positions, if necessary, with the understanding that before we would consider that, we'd see if we can do anything by attrition. So if we have a retirement, we have a resignation. Right now, my calculation is that we probably need to adjust by 2 to 3 staff members with these current projections. But of course, if they end up increasing, we can call those people back. If we do it by attrition, then we just post those positions and no one is affected that hasn't left our building or that is still in our buildings. So it's going to be a fluid situation. With everything going on financially, we just have to be prepared to be nimble. And if we have fewer students next year, we're going to need fewer teachers, fewer support staff to help us with all the financial situations that we're facing.
Okay, need a motion, please, and then we'll have a discussion.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Discussion, please. The main thing on the enrollment front, though, is that, again, these are preparations and things we have to do from a calendar standpoint at this time of year. I mean, to be able to execute down the road.
Well, I have a standing promise with our teacher team, our WLEA negotiations team, that, one, when all of the riffing reduction in force notifications were gutted back in 2009, 2010, we would do our best, if we ever got back into this situation, we would follow the similar process. So the similar process is you make notifications in the spring, in fairness to teachers, in fairness to everyone involved with this. Also gives enough time to get enrollment numbers, and if we can call back quickly if the enrollment numbers are increasing, that gives you that capacity. And then two, the other promise was that the callback would be based upon certification, seniority, et cetera, and we would follow that same process that we used back in 2009, 2010 when we did this. And so what my intent is to maintain that promise that we have with the WLEA Teachers Association.
Okay. All right. Any other questions or comments? Okay, all in favor of this motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? And hearing none, that motion does carry.
Now let me reemphasize. If we get retirements, we get resignations, those can mitigate anything that we have to do with this. So right now, I'm somewhat of aware of possibly two of those positions or two of those situations happening. If we get a third one, then I don't know that we'll have to go through the reduction in force process. So we're going to try to give this as long as we can while at the same time staying true to the timeline. We're in May. We would notify June. We would make final decisions.
Okay. Thank you for the explanation. All right, 2019-20 staff evaluation revision, and Dr. Killian.
One of the things I appreciate about the Department of Education is they have way too much time on their hands. And for whatever reason, they like evaluating staff evaluations and our process, and every year they tell me something new that needs to be done. Could have told me last year and I could have got it all done at the same time, but anyway, it was there last year and they didn't say anything. This year we have to make sure that we have growth model data included in the evaluation. I did take this to the Teachers Association teacher discussion and we did discuss it. I think everyone's comfortable with the revisions, and it's just adding a couple sentences to our evaluation that talks about using student data to help make objective decisions with regards to a teacher evaluation.
Okay, I need a motion, please.
So
moved by Mrs. Witt, second by Dr. Springer. Discussion, please. Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? To hearing none, that motion does carry. School board resolution, West Lafayette Community School Corporation teachers and staff.
So, Mary Dell, are you here? Okay. I want to make sure that I'm very clear that we support our teachers, we support our staff, and anything that we can do to ensure that we're putting more money in the classroom, I'm all in favor for. And so the ISTA has been working hard to communicate a lot of the concerns that we've talked about tonight to the general public, as well as I've tried to do a variety of things with letters to the editor, interviews, articles, conversations in the community. One of the things that's going to happen is April 10th is a show of solidarity with our teachers. And Mary Dell, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if I exactly have the title, but it's a staff walk-in. Is that okay? Staff walk-in, so at 7 o'clock we will start at the intermediate school, and then at 7:15 the junior-senior high school, and 8 o'clock Cumberland. Did I get that right?
Correct.
Great. My memory's coming back. And we're going to wear red, and we're going to have some guest speakers, and we have created a resolution for the board's consideration and support of our teachers and additional funding for our teachers and staff. And I'm recommending the board's approval of this resolution and inviting anyone here, as well as anyone that we can contact to be there in support of our teachers and staff. And the reason I asked Mary Dell, she was here. If you'd like to say a few words now about this, this might be a good time.
Sure. Thank you so much. And I have with me Andy Shipscher, our co-president of WLEA. I have flyers for anybody who's interested here. Wanted to emphasize this is not just a WLEA Teachers Association thing. This is a community thing. At the end of the day, it's about our kids. And it's about the lack of funding, lack of, I guess, genuine support from some in our state house. Our local legislators understand the need to invest in our future, but we're not sure that everybody does. So we appreciate your support. We have a flyer for everyone in the board. We'd love it if you could come out to all three buildings. And we'd love it if all teachers, all parents, the entire community, let's all get out there, wear red. We'll have donuts, by the way. And, you know, show our solidarity and show that we're willing to stand up for our students and our children.
Thank you.
If anyone would like a flyer, Andy has some. She'll give to you, the board,
and then
anybody here.
Yeah.
Will,
go ahead and bring them up.
Yeah, bring them in. If
go ahead and bring them up.
We'll be happy to take them. Thank you, Mary Dell.
Thank you so much.
But our resolution is in support of our teachers and our staff, and making sure that our voice can be heard as best as it can with regards to all things schools and.
Okay, we need a motion to all those are passed.
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Witt, second by Mr. Bittner. Discussion. I will say as a board that it's important to us that this is a the work of Mary Dell and everyone, all of our teachers towards this. Towards bringing more awareness to this issue is very important to our group, and I think that's kind of goes without saying. But We want to make sure people know that. Any good other
picture.
Discussion?
Yeah, good pictures.
Good pictures. All in favor of this motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, this motion does carry.
And Mary Dell and Andy will get that signed, and we'll get that. I'll get a copy to you tomorrow.
Thank you so much. And Mayor Dennis is on board, and he said he'll do whatever we want, whatever
that
is.
Tell him to come in his Batman costume.
Yeah. He might.
His red Batman costume.
Yeah. Item 14, donation $1,000 to West Lafayette Intermediate School. Need a motion.
Move.
Moved by Mrs. Brocknell.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. Discussion. Well, I don't know why we even discussed this, but.
Thanks.
Yeah, except to say thank you. All in favor of this motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, this motion does carry. Overnight field trip, high school boys basketball that happened March the 8th and 9th in 2019 for the state tournament. Fifth grade camp to Camp Tecumseh, April 29th to May 3rd. Need a motion, please, to accept that.
So moved.
Moved by Dr. Springer.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Personnel report, and Dr. Kling.
I'm recommending your approval of everything listed in the personnel report, and I want to make specific mention. Normally I don't, but in this case I think it's a good thing as we've had a retirement in our administrative ranks. We did post internally for an assistant principal to help us with our K through 12 special education transition, and it's my honor to recommend to you Shelby Johnson to join our administrative ranks as assistant principal, as well as the person who will have oversight as we transition next year to more of the school district handling our own special education programming. Shelby, if you want to stand.
Yay. Yeah. All right, we need a motion.
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Witt.
Second.
Second by Mr. Bittner, I think is correct there. And discussion. We wish you well, Shelby, on that front, certainly. Anything else? The order. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, that motion does carry.
Shelby, may I put you on the spot to just give a brief preview of what we're trying to do with the special education transition? Would you feel comfortable saying something?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're looking at things that Glass has always been in charge of and what needs to remain Glass. So we're trying to figure out what core Glass means. What services do we need to keep at Glass because it's most cost efficient? So for example, OT, PT, speech, those are services that we can work with them and those would remain core Glass, so Glass will remain. But then there's things like transportation. The transition to transportation is a good example. We're going to save a lot of money there. So for example, on Wednesday, we've paid over the years for 10% of the materials or, you know, car seats, equipment, buses. We're going to go look at LSE and get 10% of those things back for our district. So those are things, the cost savings, just looking at how can we be more efficient. Glass over the years has grown substantially, and we've just always felt like with LSE and TSC growing and they're 45%, 45%, and we're 10%, that we're kind of always the lowest on the totem pole. So we felt like there were things that we could do better and get information out and take care of our kids in a more efficient manner. So that's what we're kind of looking to do.
And for instance, we're going to be able to buy buses from LSE for a buck. That's pretty good.
Yeah,
I think. I just thought I'd let's hope so.
So yeah, over the years, I think we're going to see changes. It just kind of depends on how fast we move, but we've made, I think, pretty substantial gains even this year getting transportation. It's a lot. I mean, it's a lot just for us with our 35. Can you imagine TSC and LSE with how many kids they transport in a day? So for everybody to kind of agree to take this on and wrap our minds around how many buses and routes, and it's been a huge undertaking. So.
Yeah. And I appreciate Shelby B. She has been a part of this. And one of the things a lot of people don't understand, we have never received any of our federal dollars for special education. It's gone to Glass. When we get this done, the money's going to come to us, and we're going to have better control of that. And I think once we get our hands on that, that's also going to help us with some of these financial issues. But we're at least a year away before we, I think, get into that.
Okay. All right. We'll move on to accounts payable. Rocky, anything in
Well, Ross did this, so if you find any mistakes, call him. If you like it, you can thank me.
Okay.
Maybe not.
Need a motion, please, for the payroll bills.
Second.
Mrs. Witt, second by Mrs. Prock now. Discussion, billing. And if we have, again, we see this in advance, but if there's any specific questions, certainly after the fact, we can discuss that with Ross and or Rocky. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, this motion does carry. We'll move on to information of the board, of which I have none at this point. Board and superintendent reports. We'll move around the room, starting with Mr. Marley.
No updates tonight.
Okay. Tom, anything on your end?
West Side Story is Saturday.
Right, Saturday night.
And the Public School Foundation of Tippecanoe County has their grant reception on May 14th. The Cupcake Run registration is open for early registration, and the date is September 22nd.
Okay.
Attended board teacher discussion, and Rocky's pretty well covered that.
Okay.
Yeah. And Rocky's also covered legislative updates, so
yes.
I don't have any of the...
Third house is done, or is it...
No, we still have two more sessions, plus the final
okay.
one.
Straight them up, will you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Karen?
Also attended board teacher discussion. Rocky has covered that very well. nothing to report from Park Board.
For me, just I've been working with the foundation, also on some of the fundraising for the... James R. Guy, and some other opportunities are coming forth, and that's been impressive, that the amount of support we've had. It's still an ongoing process, but it's been a lot of good work
there. And for our audience members, if you haven't heard, we have gone over $2 million in fundraising for our projects, and we just got a couple other significant gifts in the last few weeks, so I think we could be nearing $3 million shortly. So we're doing everything we can to reach out to alumni, people that live outside our zip code, so that we're not always knocking on your door.
In the hopes of finishing these building projects in a manner that will be best for our students. All right, anything else for the good order? Communication from the audience, and we'll start with Mary Dell. You're first signed up.
Do you just wanted to say thank you again. I was going to give my pitch for the walk-in, but we'll see you and come get a donut.
Okay. Thank you.
Mary Lou?
Mary Lou donut?
I just thought I'd ask. I
got to know what kind of donut I'm going.
Okay, next up is Sarah, and I don't want to A-N-T-A-L-I-S.
Antelis,
okay,
Sarah
please.
Antelis,
okay, I'm sorry, Sarah. And
I have a much greater appreciation for the complexities and difficulties of the financial pressures that you're facing after hearing what you had to say, so thank you for explaining so much. So my comments are a little different now at the end of the meeting than at the beginning of the meeting, but in my eyes as a parent, it is hard to see these massive building projects and then think about our new teachers, our half-time teachers, mm-hmm. Getting cut, and I realize I have a greater appreciation, but I don't greatly appreciate, I guess I would say, but rather than seeing teachers cut, I'd rather see smaller class sizes for a short period of time, and I also wanted to thank you for continuing the half-day kindergarten program next year. I've had children both half-day and full-day, and you know, both are wonderful, but I can say for our family, the half day was invaluable. The amount of community shared in the classroom with the children and the parents was wonderful. Instruction was wonderful, and I had the opportunity to spend, you know, time with our five-year-olds. Rather than getting 20 minutes of recess, we could take them to the park or take them to the museum. And I know there are some arguments about research, you know, showing that full day is superior to half day, but I really question the demographics that research went, you know, was done on and the population. I think that the majority of people that choose half day in this setting, have a stay-at-home parent. I'd love to have that luxury to have a stay-at-home parent and have an involved parent that brings a lot to their education as well. So I know that you're considering for the future some changes, and I don't have any more kindergartens coming through the pipeline, although I wish I did, but I would love to see for other members of the community this wonderful program to continue. I understand it's the only one in the state, and I think that makes our community so special, that we've continued to value that, and I hope we continue to do so. So thank you.
Do you mind giving your just for the record, just your home address, please, too? I just didn't ask for that. I apologize.
Sure.
Do you want me to
do it right now?
Yeah, just for the public record.
Sure. Oh, for the public
record? Yeah.
It's normal.
It's just a formality for people to speak.
Wilshire Avenue.
Okay.
29 of Southern Wilshire Avenue.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And it's also for fundraising material.
No, I got her address.
Yeah, I bet you do. All right, and I apologize also for not, because I can't read my own handwriting half the time, but Trenner Pierce?
Trina.
Trina, I'm sorry. Trina, would you please, by gosh, give us your mailing address, please.
Yes, it's 117 Wendell Lane.
Very good. Thanks. And the floor is yours.
Well, I was also coming to thank the board and Dr. Killian for your decision to wait a year before deciding on the half-day kindergarten program. This is my first year as a West Lafayette parent, and I've just enjoyed it immensely. Thank you also for the work you do to secure funding for our school. I also didn't know the complexity of it, but I did have a couple questions, which I don't know if you can answer now, but do you happen to know the number of students that are required to break even to offer a half-day kindergarten class?
Well, I try not to do a break-even thing. I try to look at the total picture. And for instance, I mean, if I had to say right now what I think the cost savings would be if we didn't do half-day kindergarten versus full-day, even with bringing a half-time person on, and this includes attaching enrollment, it could be about a $70,000 turnaround, because you get full ADM, and instead of having 8.5 kindergarten positions, we might only need 8. But that could change depending upon enrollment. So it's a little bit fluid. And it's hard to project until you get more information. And that's why I kept trying to tell everyone that was contacting me, a decision hasn't been made. Yeah. I didn't make a decision yet. And Dr. Taggart came to the rescue and said, hey, I think we've got some more work to do on this. And she wanted to spend more time looking at it. So I appreciate her review. And we're trying to find some cost savings in other places. But there's... And like I said, there's going to be ongoing conversations. Nothing is in stone until this board, it's on the agenda. And if anyone told you it was going to be on the agenda, they were in error, because that decision had not been made. And that's what I kept trying to tell everyone. I had not made a decision whether or not to put this on the agenda. And even if I had to put it on the agenda probably would have been a first reading or something and said, hey, this is what we're considering and why. So I don't even know if a vote would have happened tonight. So if you got any questions, my office is right in there, and I never refuse people unless they're coming in with a bat. If they have a baseball bat, I say no. But if you want to come in and speak to me, you're always welcome. I don't hide. I'm always around walking the dog or something. So I don't know if that helps you.
Okay, go ahead.
That does. May I ask one more question?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Are there additional barriers besides cost to offering half-day kindergarten?
There are conversations going on, and I don't want to throw staff members under the bus, figuratively or literally, but there are some concerns in the upper grade levels about the readiness of full-day students versus half-day students. And so that... When I hear that and I have those conversations, that's part of the look-see. There are issues coming down the pike, as I try to explain to people from the Department of Education. And our Department of Education is actually interested in coming in and meeting with us to tell us why it would be better that we had all full-day kindergarten, not half-day. And I told them, no, don't do that. No, we don't need that conversation right now. So there are a variety of pressures coming from the state. And in 2023,
there's going to be a new accountability model. And if we're not ready for that new accountability model in 2023, we're going to be behind the eight ball like we are a little bit with some of this new legislation. We're going to be catching up, and I would prefer being prepared to handle those things. And I think you could see some additional assessments in the lower grades. By the way, I'm not a fan of any of that. If you know me, I don't want standardized testing. I don't want this accountability model. I want our teachers to be able to determine whether or not our students are excelling. And we got this stupid accountability model from a state, from a bunch of people that have no idea what they're doing, telling us, the professionals, what to do. It'd be like me going to my dentist and telling him or her, hey, use this tool rather than that tool. Or why don't you do it this way? I'm not an expert. They're not experts. They should allow the professionals to be the experts. I'll get off my high horse.
All right. Thank you for the comments, and we'll move on to future meetings, the West Side Story Annual Fundraiser, which was mentioned by Melissa.
Fundraiser, April 6th. Yeah. April 6th.
No School on the 8th and 22nd, Community Forum. April 15th to 2019.
That's the parent council representations.
Yeah. Right, and then teacher discussion on April the 18th at 4:15, and then our next regular board meeting will be Monday, May the 6th at 6:30 p.m. I'll need a motion for adjournment, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Witt. All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Okay.
I like the pool.